TCK Tales is brought to you in partnership with MK2MK, and they have an incredible thing happening this summer. It could be possible that Budapest is part of God's plan for you next year. MK2MK in Budapest is recruiting for their team. MK2MK is a ministry of crew, a faith-based mission that exists to build a global spiritual community of MKs and TCKs who impact their world for Christ. Through their mission trips, conferences, and care trips, they connect the TCK community around the globe and help them to understand their unique identity by giving vision and spiritual input. They help them grow into their faith and provide opportunities to develop skills to lead and mentor other TCKs. As of October 2018, they've had a team in Budapest, Hungary, whose scope is to serve TCKs and their families throughout Central and Eastern Europe and beyond as they have capacity. They are right now looking for young adult MKs who would be willing to join their team for a one-year stint of this upcoming year. They are in particular in need of guys who can come alongside younger male MKs and mentor their relationship. If you are interested, go to their website, mk2mk.org, or go through my website at tcktales.com under the resources tab. And let me just tell you guys, MK2MK is an incredible organization. I learned so much from them and through going on projects with them. It's an incredible opportunity. And I have actually been to Budapest and worked with a lot of the MKs that are there. And they are an incredible group of people. And crew in Hungary and crew in Budapest is incredible. And also, like, Budapest is just a super dope city. So definitely check them out. It is an incredible opportunity. A great time to just get to know and mentor other MKs and leverage your story for other people. Hey guys, my name is John, and you're listening to TCK Tales. Kind of continuing on from our episode from last week with Veronica, we're doing another interview. This episode is called The Realities of Being Gray, and you'll kind of see the connection as the episode goes. But it is a conversation with a good friend of mine who I came into Moody with and I'm graduating with, Patrick Nelson. He is a person of mixed race. He is a biracial child. His dad is African American. His dad is Jamaican American, actually, and his mother is white. And we came in, we became friends freshman year, and we've kind of stayed friends, really close. And so I really wanted to get his take on it, mostly like selfishly for me as a person in an interracial relationship and as someone who is going to have, hopefully, Lord willing, interracial children. I am trying to learn as much as possible about them. And that means learning from the experiences of my interracial friends. So that's why I'm keeping this as a conversation, because I, throughout all of this, was learning and growing and trying to understand what his reality is like and contextualize that for my situation and what my children's realities will be like afterwards, after they are born. And I just love what he has to say. And he is just a fun and bright person to talk to. And editing this interview earlier this week, I was just struck with how funny he is. And I just missed him in that moment. So I'm really excited for you guys to experience this. So he is from the Chicago area. He's not from anywhere internationally, but he has a really cool and really unique cultural experience. And I just love the wisdom and the intelligence in which he talks about this issue and a lot of the points that he makes. So without anything more, I'm going to kind of stop talking now and check out Patrick's TCK tale.
So my name is Patrick. Full name, Patrick Nelson. I am on this podcast because I'm known as someone who is racially ambiguous, or I prefer to say
ethnically mysterious. Yeah, I'll give you that one. That's for you.
No, I'm half black, half white. My dad is from Jamaica, and then my mom is, I mean, she's all sorts. She's a mutt, but mostly European.
So part of the reason that I had you on, Patrick, is because you are biracial. Or, as you said, ethnically ambiguous. And I am in a biracial relationship, and I have no idea what the frick I'm doing.
Dude, you're good, man.
It's fun. But yeah, I just kind of want to talk to you about, like, very much, like, you know, realities and, like, what it was like growing up as biracial in the U.S. So if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, first off, thank you for, you know, taking the courage, or having the courage and being willing to get into a relationship that is not familiar, you know, because there's so many people who just flock to their same race. And if that were the case,
I wouldn't be here.
You know, growing up, being half black, half white was very interesting. I don't think I would ever go back and say, like, oh, I would wish this was all different. Because even though I was half black, half white, like, the people who were closest to me, they were very, very good at teaching me that, hey, it's not about, you know, I don't see you as just a black kid or just a white kid. I see you as both, but I see beyond that. I see you for who you are. Those are some of the friends that I still have today. My mom and my dad now are like that, but before they were like, my mom would ask me questions like, if you could choose, what would you say you identify more with? And I'm like, Mom, that is the worst question you could ever ask me. Like, that is so difficult to say, like, because to my white friends, I was too black. And to my black friends, I was always that white boy, you know, even though, like, I was a high yellow, as they say, you know, I was a little bit lighter. I didn't speak with the same kind of slang. I was just different. And it was visually apparent. But yeah, growing up being mixed, it's like you have this innate identity issue. I feel like everyone has to work with identity at some point in their life. But like right off the bat, I noticed that I was different than my cousins. I noticed immediately that I was different than my mom and different than my dad. And like when I was little, my teacher would ask me, oh, so what ethnic background are you from? I'm like, well, thinking about it, I'm like, I'm black and white. Let me see. I was like, oh, you know, 5-year-old, I'm like, I'm gray. I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm gray. Because, I mean, if I took black paint and white paint and put it together, it made gray. And everyone always told me that I was black and white. And I was like, oh, and I looked at it, I'm like, that's not what I look like. And I realized, like, oh, that's not what they mean and all that stuff. But yeah, just there's privileges and then there's a lot of downsides as well. Some of the privileges is that I can see from multiple perspectives. I've always had the ability to just stand back and be like, you know what? You know, this is a really big race issue. Well, why is this a problem for my black brothers and sisters? Why is this a problem for my white brothers and sisters? Like, why do they, why are there sides and what's going on here? And like, where do I stand with it? So it was able to help me get a more objective view of everything. Some of the more hurtful comments that people would say when I was younger is like, oh, Pat, like we were in, you know, fourth grade going through, you know, talking about slavery and all that stuff. I remember one of my, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call him a friend, more of an acquaintance. He was like, he raised his hand and then pointed at me in class and he's like, does that mean that Patrick's grandpa could have owned Patrick's grandpa? And I was like, that's just ignorant. You know, it was just really frustrating for me to hear that from one of my peers. And I took a second and thought about it. I'm like, huh, you know, like there is an obvious disparity here. There's something different, you know, and like something that being mixed, I've always went back to race when it comes to moments where people feel a little uncomfortable. Like say you're meeting someone for the first time. This happened a lot in high school. Meeting someone for the first time and like they don't really know how to interact with you and the burning question's always in their head. What are you? Well, first off, I'm like, I'm human. Nice to meet you. Name's Patrick. Like, I'm always go with that. But like for the longest time, I'm mixed. Or I'm black and white. Or I'm white and black. Or, you know, stuff like that. And it was just so frustrating because people would be like, oh, but no, like, what are you? I'm like, oh, I'm Jamaican, Irish, German, Swedish. I don't know, Cherokee Indian. Throw a couple else in there. Like, it's just, they always were so curious about that. And they saw this ethnically ambiguous person. And the curiosity kind of led them to, you know, ask some questions that were sometimes a little insensitive. But yeah, growing up black and white, literally, I realized that in life, there are not a lot of black and whites. A lot of life is gray. And like, there's a book by Brian Bantam, Dr. McDuffie, he suggested it to me, but it's called The Death of Race. Brian Bantam is a professor. He's also mixed. And he kind of speaks about how he goes through his life and how, you know, being mixed has really formed and shaped his reality of what it is and how he even sees God, you know? Because for a long time, and this is more so on my end, for a long time, my dad and a lot of my black family was like, Jesus wasn't white. And like, they would make a huge point, like, Jesus wasn't white. And I mean, I agree. I understand. Jesus wasn't white. But then at the same time, some of my cousins and uncles would go as far to say, like, Jesus was black. Think about like Africa and all this stuff. And I'm like, that's a little bit of a stretch. A little bit, in my opinion. I mean, Jesus was Middle Eastern. Like, he was more my color, you know? I'm not super dark, but I'm also not super light. And like, I feel like that's more of how Christ was, and looking at that. And yeah, I feel like I'm all over the place, brother. I'm sorry.
I have a lot of really interesting engagement questions in regards to that. So, speaking of like that identity issue, are you familiar with Trevor Noah?
Yeah.
Okay. What are your thoughts with some of Trevor Noah's stand-up bits where he talks about, like, because, you know, he's mixed, and he talks about being, well, first off, what are your thoughts on the fact that the South Africans have a quote-unquote box for mixed people, and that is colored, which isn't like a slang. It's like, that's just, my mom's black, my dad's white, I'm colored. That's what I am. I'm not the either of them. I'm this. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think?
I think it helps out when it comes to identity, because it gives you a place to stand, you know, gives you a firm foundation. Because I mean, everyone always asks me, like, what do you identify with more? Just as my parents ask me. And I'd have to say, like, I don't identify with one more than the other. There are times where I'm like, yeah, I feel more like this. Like, when I'm with a group of people who are just white, I kind of acclimate to that culture. But then when I'm with a group of people who are just black, like, everything changes still. Like, the way I speak, the way I look at things, my humor, it slowly changes into that. I feel more like a comedian. So having a box to check,
you mean
like
chameleon?
Oh. You got me there.
I got
chameleon.
You.
So having a box to check, like, that would help out. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it though. Because growing up, being a chameleon, being able to, you know, identify with being black and being white, like, to check a box that was mixed, it sits well with me, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's like, colored, I've never had that option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's just something I've been thinking about. And just hearing you talk, like, it's fascinating just the similarities between, like, your experience racially and, like, a lot of MK's and TCK experiences, like, culturally. Mm-hmm. Just with that, like, being able to pull back. Because we talk in Mukapa a lot about, like, the similarities that MKs have with African Americans, or the similarities they have with, like, minorities and things like that. But you don't think about the, like, because we have the ability of, like, global issues to be able to sit back and be like, take China and America, for example, like Josh Schumacher, who was on this podcast. Listen to his episode. It's called I Love Home, I Love Home Not. Go back and listen to it. It's great. But he grew up in China. So he's able to, like, now as we're in this, like, political moment where, like, America's kind of, like, against China in, like, a trade war, he's able to sit back and be like, okay, I understand America. I also understand where China's coming from. Where is this? For you, you're able to be like, with like racial issues, be able to be like, okay, I see where my white family's coming from. I see where my black family's coming from. And like, where's, and so I'd never made that connection of like, but yeah. And like, I do that same thing culturally. Like when I'm around like Nigerian people, like my accent gets a little bit thicker.
There you go. Yeah.
I start to use like old slang again from like when I was younger. And like, I get a little bit louder, especially when I'm around Africans. So like when I'm around Purity's family, like I get a little bit louder, and I like make more jokes about my whiteness and about my like Americanness a little bit more. But then when I'm like around my white friends, like I'm a lot more like, I grew up in Mansfield and like tractors. Yay. And it's just, but like, I guess it's less visible for me than it would be for you, which is also a thing. So what are your thoughts on like, Trevor Noah has this bit where he's like in South Africa and he talks, and he has this like American guy come to him and he goes, you know, if you're in America, you'd be black. And then he goes, he's like, oh, I'm gonna be black, I'm gonna be black. And he does this whole coaching thing. And he makes this point where he says, mixed people are never claimed as black until they do something successful.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, dang. Oh, gosh.
Tiger Woods was a mixed golfer, and then he won the PGA, and he was the first black person to win the PGA.
Mm-hmm.
Or Obama was a mixed senator until he became president. Then he was the first black president.
Yeah.
Like, what are your thoughts on that? honestly, it's like
because of the marginalization of you know, Africans in the United States, I feel like, you know, any kind of success that someone may have that points towards the race, they're like, yeah, that's us, yeah, we did this, you know. And it's like, well, for the longest time you said that he was mixed, you didn't claim him, like, what happened? And there's actually a bit that Key and Peele does, oh gosh, I can't, I think it's the they do like an it's not like an auction, but it's like the award winner, like who gets what person for their race. Like, they're like, Tiger Woods, Asian or black? And they're like, you know, we'll trade you Obama for Tiger Woods back. And Obama's like, yeah, finally, I'm black. And, you know, it's ridiculous, but it's kind of funny, and it pokes fun at that whole notion of like, what are they and what are they to you unless they are successful? You know, if I say I become this, say I become famous for some reason, I'll be known as Patrick Nelson, you know, the first black whatever, or I'll be known as another black person. But in reality, like, if I talk to people about it, I'm like, no, I'm not just black. I'm not just gonna leave my white side out. I mean, yeah, there's tons of people who would look at me and be like, oh, no, but you're black, because, like, you know, look at your daddy, stuff like that. It all comes from your dad. And it's like, yeah, but do you forget that my mother was called Casper the Friendly Ghost in high school? Like, it's, you know.
I also love that you said, he's like, my daddy, and then my mother.
My mother. Like,
so, yeah.
I also find it interesting, just, you mentioned Key and Peele and stuff like that. Like, a lot of the comics and a lot of the, like, the people in entertainment who are speaking very broadly about issues are mixed. Like, both Key and Peele are mixed. And you have Jordan Peele, who made Get Out, and he produced Black Klansman. Mm-hmm. And he's making all of these, like, movies about race. And it's just, like, that goes back to, like, you know, you talking about how you're able to maybe speak a little bit better on some issues. And that, I just find, like, you know, because you have Trevor Noah, host of The Daily Show, you have, like, a lot of these, like, voices have foots in both camps, sort of, yeah. Which is interesting.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm thinking specifically with Get Out, like, it's a lot of stereotypes are shown in there, and that's because being mixed, we're around more white people, or at least being half black, half white, like Key and Peele, they're around more white people growing up. And because of that, they hear tons of stereotypes, they see tons of things. Like, for the longest time, my friends are like, oh, your favorite thing is watermelon and chicken. You want some grape Kool-Aid? I'm like, I don't even like Kool-Aid. I mean, unless there's tons of sugar in it, I still, even then, I'm like, this feels like it's diabetes in a cup. You know, I'm not a super huge fan of it.
That's a good version. That's a good, like, symbol of Kool-Aid. Just
diabetes in a cup. You want some? Come get it.
No, but, like, I don't know. When it comes to, like, the stereotypes and everything that I've been around, that's what I've seen growing up. That's what Key and Peele have seen growing up. That's what Trevor Noah saw as he was getting, you know, as he was growing up as well. And, like, making a movie that, you know, has a lot of that, you know, it's there because it's a problem, you know? We're able to see a little bit more objectively because of being both. We have a foot in both worlds. And because we are able to see objectively, like, I can say this. No offense to my black brothers and sisters, but I know way too many black people who are genuinely racist towards white people. You know? Oh, you can't do that because you're white. Oh, man, I don't listen to a white person. Oh, what you talking about? Because you're saying that because you're half white. It's like, what? You know, I feel like there's been a shift in our culture from white people being incredibly racist to black people starting to pick up the mantle. And it's like, well, where does the acceptance that you have wanted for so long come? You know? Yeah, I don't want to say that the things that have, you know, the things that black people have gone through in our country have not been terrible. No, it's been absolutely atrocious. But it doesn't give us grounds to then dish out racism again, you know? And I'm not saying that there are not white people who are still racist. There are white people who are still racist. But there are a lot of my black brothers and sisters are doing that as well, you know? We'll be right back.
speaking of that, earlier on in the season, I had TK on. TK talks about how, like, in his view, for a lot of African Americans, like, their race is their identity. Like, mm-hmm. they don't have a family heritage; they just have their race. So if for some reason, like, their black card gets revoked or something like that, like, it's challenging to them, and like, that's their initiation to the community a little bit. How have you seen that play out? And like, do you agree? Do you not agree? Like,
TK has a point there. Yeah, I agree with him. Like, I have some friends from high school that, like, on the football team and everything, they are black. That's first and foremost, they're black. And then they're a Christian. And then they're, you know, a football player. Then they're, you know, the son of whoever. And, like, there's a huge thing, huge movement going on right now where tons of people are trying to figure out where they came from. You know, think of, like, Ancestry.com's DNA tests or 23andMe's DNA test. And, like, that can help. I don't think that it's the most important thing, because when you come down to it, you have to ask yourself, who am I? Don't say, yeah, I'm a proud black man, I'm a proud black woman. Well, then that's all you're going to be. And what happens if that's taken away? Mm-hmm. You know? Like, when I think about myself, before I was Christian, I was like, I'm mixed. I don't necessarily know who I am. But then when I came to Christ, I realized I'm, first and foremost, I'm a child of God, you know? I'm no different than, you know, my Asian brother to my left, my Hispanic brother to my right. You know? Like, we're all the same in that instance. We're all human. So first and foremost, realize that you're human as your identity. And then build off of that. If you have a foundation that is not strong, like saying, I'm a black man, well, what happens when you do the Ancestry.com thing and you find out that, you know, your great-grandmother was white? Yeah, throws a little bit of a wrench into the system, doesn't it?
Or what happens when maybe you start hanging around a lot more white people, you start talking like a white person, then everyone starts calling you an Oreo.
Exactly. Oh, gosh, yes. Because then you revert and you try to speak in slang. You try to, you know, dress a little bit different. You try to, your demeanor, your mannerisms, everything starts to change because of that aspect of your identity. And it's like, find something that is truly meaningful and matters. Yes, race, let me rephrase that. Ethnicity matters. Mm-hmm. Race, not so much, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And you have to understand that, realize that, and like, I think one of the things that I'm thinking about is, like, what am I going to talk about with my son? Mm-hmm. You know, because whoever I end up with, no matter what, my son's going to be mixed because I'm mixed. Mm-hmm. What am I going to talk about? First off, I'm not going to make him choose sides. You know, he may relate with one side better than the other. That's great, you know. But when it comes down to it, my son, I'm going to let him know, like, hey, you are loved and you are cared for before anything else. I don't care how you look, what color your skin is, what color your hair is, if it's curly, if it's straight, it doesn't matter to me. You're my son and I love you. Mm. Because that's exactly how God sees us. Mm. He's like, I don't care what color you are. I don't care what, you know, if you're tall, short, you know, big, small, skinny, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to him. Who are you to Christ? Remind yourself that.
So many more, like, thoughts, like, you know, just, there's that, as you were talking, there's that joke that Key and Peele do. There's, like, you know, every time two mixed people are in the room, they try to out-black the other person.
It's true. it's low-key kind of true.
And he's like, you lock two mixed guys in a room together for like 5 hours. You come back, they're going, ay, ay, ay.
Yes. And they're like,
beating on drums, wearing dashikis.
Yeah.
But also just like that concept of like, he may relate to one more or the other. Like, you know the show Black-ish?
Yeah.
Like, I was just thinking of that. Like, there's the one episode where, because the wife is mixed, there's one episode where their son starts dating a white girl, and like, she gets really angry about that. Mm. It talks with like her racial identity. She talks with her dad, and her dad is like, no, you've always seen yourself as black. That's why you married a black person. Like, that's who you are. And so she's like, the person your son brings home is a reflection of who you are. So when he brought home a white person, that hit you in a way you didn't expect. And it's just a really interesting mm-hmm. episode talking about like mixed race. My final question, something that I've gotten a lot, I want to get your thoughts on it. What are your thoughts on Like, so as someone who is engaged to a black person, the biggest thing I hear, and everyone views it as a compliment, and I don't know how I feel about it, is like, oh my gosh, your babies are gonna be so adorable. What are your thoughts? Like, just this, like, it feels like this almost glorification of biracial children to some extent. Like, and I don't know, like, I get that a lot, and I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know, what are your, as like someone who is that, like, who is that adorable child, what are your thoughts on that? I normally get it from, like, white people.
Yeah.
To be honest, in my opinion, mixed kids are the cutest. I do see that a lot, just because you see so many things from different races kind of coming together to make this one culmination of it's just a beautiful child. And, like, I feel in the next, you know, 50, 60 years, mixed children are going to be, there's going to be more mixed children than, you know, people who are not mixed, simply because of, you know, how our culture kind of, you know, moves in that direction. I mean, think about it. Like, if I have kids with someone, that's going to be a mixed kid. If my kids have kids with someone, that's probably still going to be a mixed kid. And unless, you know, one race kind of, or one ethnicity kind of, like, pushes the other one out by, say, I marry a black woman, my son marries a black woman, my grandson marries a black woman, then it's probably going to, you know, filter out.
Or other way around.
Or
as well.
Other way around, exactly. Yeah, mixed children. I understand you're kind of like, about, because you're like, well, thank you for saying my kids are going to be beautiful, but, like, you're pointing something out before they're even born, before, like, they're even made, you know? Like,
also, would you say that if I was marrying a white girl?
Yeah.
Or would you say that to my fiance if she was marrying a black person?
And it's like, you, in all honesty, they probably wouldn't. And that is kind of frustrating. But it's like, I think about how my mom was. It's like, my mom holding my hand as a little kid, she's going out to the world saying, look, world, look what I made. Look what I cooked in the oven for too long. You know? And, like, everyone always thought that I was adopted because my mom's white, my dad's black, but my stepdad is white, and my dad, or my stepmom, is black. So, like, my parents remarried to the same race that they are. And I'm like, oh, man. Because, like, I'm with my dad and my stepmom, and they're like, oh, how is he so light? And then I'm with my mom and my stepdad, and I'm like, oh, it's so nice that you adopted. Because my little brother and sister, they're blonde hair, blue-eyed, is like, what? No, I have half their DNA. You know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, my mom walking around like that, and you're like, yeah, look what I cooked in the oven for too long. And everyone else is kind of looking around like, anyone else see this white woman stealing this Puerto Rican kid? You know, like, like, they don't know, and they always see, you know, these colored children as being, you know, more, I don't want to say more beautiful, but, like, they see them and say, oh, they're going to be beautiful. I have seen some ugly mixed children. I'll tell you that. I'm not going to tell you who, because I don't want them to hear this and be like, hold up.
I think my baby's ugly.
But, like, it doesn't necessarily, like, a child is going to be beautiful regardless, because they're in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And, like, a child is beautiful because of the innocence there. And it's like, not necessarily, oh, your child's going to have curly hair and blue eyes. Oh, my gosh. You know? It's like, yeah. It's cool, I guess. You know? Like, for the longest time, I wanted green eyes. I didn't even know why. But, like, I saw some other mixed kids my age that had green eyes. And I was like, wow. You know, tons of people always want to talk to them. They see them as a little bit, I don't understand why, but they see them as more of a leader. They see them, they'll pick them first for games and stuff like that. I never understood that as a kid, like, how the appearance of other people really played a factor in. So, yeah. And yeah, like, the thing is I'm dating, you know, a Brazilian girl. So she's half white and then half Brazilian. And, like, that in and of itself is mixed. A beautiful thing, you know?
What I love about Patrick's story
and our conversation was just the wisdom that he brought. And you hear this from a lot of mixed race people, but they talk about this concept of being able to kind of step back and look at things from both sides. And I think in today's culture and in today's society, that's something we very much need. The statistics show that by 2021, 2022, there will be actually a majority mixed race children just because of the way that people are doing it. And he talks about that a little bit at the end. And yeah, it's really exciting to see that people with such broad experiences will be a majority of the world and be ruling the world, I guess is the best way to put it. I'm excited. I am super excited to meet my future children when that happens after I get married. And I'm excited for the experiences and what I will learn from them as well. There isn't really much meta-narrative wise to talk about. It's just kind of still wrapping my brain around and thinking, but this is just this is an open conversation. So if you have any questions, if you have a different experience or you want to talk more, let me know. Hit me up on Facebook or email. So you can find me at Facebook at tcktales@facebook.com or email me at tcktales.com, or you can visit my website. There's a lot of really cool things. I'll let you kind of explore around there. But in my website, there's a tab called Share Your Story. So if you are a TCK, if you are a mixed racial person, if you are adopted, or if you feel like this works with you anyway, or also if you work with TCKs, or if you are a parent of TCKs, or if you are a child of TCKs, I want to get all perspectives because everyone has a different perspective and everyone can speak into this reality and what is happening. And everyone loves the people that they love, and you must love or have some association with TCKs if you're listening to this podcast. So I want to hear that story. So go to the Share Your Story tab. There'll be the two questions that I've asked all of my guests, and you can email me, let me know what you think. Give like a quick summary of what your story is and I will respond back really quickly, and we'll get figuring out something. My archive of people is getting ever so small as more and more episodes, which is great because I'm sharing with you all my great friends, but I want to share with you guys what you guys are saying, and I want this to be open conversation. So do that. That's great. Write a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. Write a review that really tells people about the podcast. Another great way to tell people about the podcast is just subscribe. Subscribe so you can also get new episodes every week as they come. And then also tell your friends about the podcast and tell people about it. If you have a friend who you think would very much benefit, like you need this because you need therapy, or will help you understand me better, just tell them, give it to them. If you want something that's easy to give, let me know and I can burn CDs with the episodes on them and send them out, or USB drives. I can do some fun stuff like that. I do have a bunch. So if that's something you would like, let me know. We can talk. Yeah, that's just something that came up with my head. I may do that. We'll see. That's not the surprise I talked about last week. That'll come up in a couple more weeks. But yeah, thank you to Patrick and to all of my guests for the past 25 episodes. I haven't really thanked my guests, but thank you to all of them. Thank you to Cameron and Josh and Veronica and Lisa and Katie and Abigail and Jawabi and all the guests that I've had, and Esther and Anessa and Rachel and Lizzie and James and all of the guests that I've had on there. Thank you guys so much for sharing your stories. This is your official thank you from your episodes. But thank you specifically to Patrick for his openness and for his honesty. And yeah, with that, we are one episode away from the end of our identity series with a fantastic interview and conversation with a really good friend of mine from Moody, who I do miss dearly as well. And I'm really excited to share that with you. So until next week, I will see you guys later. So see you guys next week for another TCK Tale.